got your Bibles out, Mark chapter 11, verse 23-24. Welcome our online guests. And I'm going to talk about tonight, our title of our message is, When can you use your faith for others? That's a question. Or you could say, using your faith for other people. Mark 11, 23-24, the great faith scripture we use around here. But every once in a while, we have to review the things that we know because we forget. It's so easy to let go of truth that we have gotten, and so you forget. So everybody needs to be reminded all the time. So Mark chapter 11, 23-24, I'm reading the King James Version. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and remember, they were not born again yet. He says, "For verily I say unto you," Jesus is talking to them, he says, "that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall believe," or "he shall have whatsoever he thinketh," no, whatever he said. So that's what he said. Verse 24 says, now he's talking about the confession of faith in verse 23. And in verse 24, he's talking about prayer specifically because faith works. And he talked about verse 22, the God kind of faith. Then verse 23 explains what the God kind of faith is and how it works. Verse 23 is an explanation of how faith works. First of all, you need to believe in your own words. Two things. Number one, you have to say something. Number two, you have to believe in your heart. And if you want an explanation of what does it mean to believe in your heart, it means you have to believe without seeing, feeling, or believe something in the scriptures without actually having any kind of natural evidence. Totally depending on the scripture. Lots of people, they want to believe something if they have a manifestation, if they have some kind of a feeling, or if they saw a vision, or an angel came and a great evangelist prayed for them, or something. But Jesus said, you know, we have to believe on the word. Believe what the scripture says. And remember, the servant says, just say the word and I'll be healed. And so we'll look at that at some time in the future. So the idea I want to get across to you tonight, the main idea, and you could actually go home after this, is that there are times when you can use your faith for another person. And there are times when you can't use your faith for another person. And so we ought to know the difference. Because so many times if you can't believe everything on Facebook, because not everybody knows about faith on Facebook, they should call it Faith Book, because everybody believes in it. You can't believe every prophecy on there. You just can't do it. You have to believe the Bible, read your Bible, and find out what it says. So many people, even pastors, even ministers, old Christians, are asking, please pray for me. My question is, why can't you pray for yourself? You know what I'm saying? And there are so many pastors and churches, maybe perhaps, are just getting people to depend on them to pray and get their answers for them. Our job as ministers is to give the word and show people how to get answers for themselves from the Bible. And we see people over and over having healing lines, prayer lines, and there's a sort of a dependency there that, long as I'm here and praying for you and healing lines, then you'll be okay. And a lot of people are disappointed. They leave there. They never get their answer. And they do the same thing after every special service, another man come back, they ask you the same thing. They pray for you the same thing. Well, how do you know that? Because I've been around long enough to see it. And if you notice, we don't have a whole lot of healing lines for our people. Amen. No, because we believe that you should understand this, the laws of faith, and stop depending on the superstar. You're all superstars. Amen. There's only one, and that's Jesus. And we need to show people that they can believe themselves, because of what the Bible says. He didn't say whatsoever your pastor believes. No, whatever you believe. So we want to show from Scripture what the Bible says about when you can pray for someone and when you can't pray for somebody. Because I wish I could make it work for everybody all the time. Just call me up. 1-800, call me up. And I can get the answer for you. But that doesn't work that way. They want to call you the last minute. Somebody's got his last three breaths at the ICU. And they want to make you pray and make something happen. And if they don't make you happen, then if it doesn't happen, they get mad at you for not being anointed enough or having enough faith. So we want to know. Do you want to know? Well, we have 24 minutes to find out. We got to get it going here. I'm accused of not finishing my messages. I'm very famous for it. Okay, let me introduce this. You can't carry someone on your faith forever. And God expects everyone to grow up. There are times people think they can use your faith for everybody all the time. So they just go ahead and pray for you no matter what. They just quickly, they lay hands on you. Quickly, they rub grease on you. And they're just ready to pray for you right away when they didn't even ask you a question. What you believe about it? What do you think about it? So Jesus never quickly laid hands on people. In fact, the Bible shows us the apostles never prayed for people. There's an exception in the book of Acts where Paul prayed for the man called Publius, a man of the island. He was a chief of that place, and he got healed, and everybody else came. And so when you read the book of Acts, the disciples commanded people to be healed in the name of Jesus. So, anyway, think about that. So they ask a minister or another believer, maybe an older believer or somebody that they know, to pray for them for an issue they have or some need. They never consider what the other person believe or what they believe or what the wants are. I've seen an ad on, you know, on a Facebook. I know people want to be helpful, and so they put an ad out sometimes. Let's, you know, call me and I'll pray for you. And no matter what it is, you don't have to tell me what it is. We'll just go ahead and pray for you. Well, that's unscriptural. You have to have some kind of understanding what they want, because you don't know what they're asking for. For instance, I gave you this kind of a, you know, far outrageous illustration that we heard many years ago at Rhema. Brother Higgins went to a place there, a church, and this guy prayed. He came up to pray for prayer, and he asked him, what do you want? He says, I would like to you to pray for me. I'll have so-and-so for my wife. And he'd already been married. He's married right then, but he wanted an elder's wife. Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, you look all astounded tonight. But that's how ridiculous it is. People ask you all kinds of stuff. They'll say, pray that I'll get a good report from the doctor. What? pray that I'll get a good report from the doctor. You mean you want me to ask God to change the report? Listen, no matter what the doctor says, you can be healed. No matter what the x-ray says, you can be healed. No matter what kind of pills you're taking, you still can be healed. Amen. And so we need to understand these things. See, you know. So many times people go without getting the results because they pray out a line of scripture and they're confused if something doesn't happen. And so they feel defeated. And so they go away not having their needs met. And the next time something comes up, they already feel defeated because the last time it didn't work. So we need answers from the Bible. Amen. Now my job is to do that research, bring it to your attention. You could do some more research, and we can research together and read and that kind of stuff. So that's what I feel my strength is to help you. The biggest thing about a pastor's job is to teach the word and instruct people, right? Not just tell you, oh, God, there's healing available. But how do you get it? We know it's there. So let's talk about, first of all, we have to know how, we know that faith matters. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. In many such scriptures like that, Hebrews 10:38, I think, says the same thing. Galatians 3:11, I think, says the same thing. He says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's go here and read Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 6, King James Version. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. In other words, faith takes the place of what you hope for in the future. The second part of that says, faith is the evidence of things you can't see, you don't see. In other words, faith, or you could say it this way, the word of God takes the place of what you do not have right now. Let's take it to the New Living Translation. I like that. It's a very, very simple one here. Are you still here? Yeah. So stay with me tonight because I want to build a good foundation. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Now that word faith is synonymous with the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God and faith are just basically the same thing. It means the same thing. Because you can't have faith apart from the Word. If you have no Word, you have no faith. You could say this way. The Word of God shows us the reality of what we hope for. Or the Bible shows us the reality of what we hope for. Or the Scripture shows us the reality of what we hope for. In other words, you got to get the promise, get the Scripture, then you have reality. And it says the second part, so in other words, faith takes place in what you hope for. Hope is always future tense, faith is always now. You have to say, I have it now, then you'll get it sooner or later. We'll show you that in that, you know, Mark 11, 23, 24. Now, it says, faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith, or the Word of God, is your evidence. How do we know that somebody says Tyrannosaurus Rex existed before? Well, we have evidence. We have archaeological findings. And, you know, they could put it together. They showed you, they build up this skeleton of this, you know, monstrous beast. And they said, yeah, there was a Tyrannosaurus Rex, T-Rex, right? We know because the evidence is right there. It's there. So faith, the Word of God is your evidence of something you're hoping to have sooner or later. It'll manifest. I want to go home now. Amen. We could just go home and say, oh man, praise God, we learned something. Hey? Verse 6 says this, without faith or without the word of God, it's impossible to please God. So you can't please God apart from the word. You can't please God without walking by faith. We saw three scriptures. We didn't read them, but Romans 1:16, Hebrews 10:38, and Galatians 3:13 says the just shall live by faith. Those who have been justified by faith, believing in Jesus Christ, we must walk by faith. In other words, we must walk by the reality of the things we do not have yet, but it's there according to the word of God. Right? So, we need to know and understand the principles of faith, and we need to learn all we can because that's important to us. We are exhorted to understand this. You can always make faith work for yourself, but sometimes you can also make your faith work for somebody else too, but not all the time. Sooner or later, God's going to require them to pull up their spiritual socks. Just like, you know, you can't carry your 14-year-old kid with your hands forever. Your 40-year-old daughter, sit over here, honey. Have some pablum. I mean, that would be ridiculous, right? No, they need to learn how to feed themselves. So you say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, you're doing the same thing spiritually. And you're trying to keep those people dependent on you for your prayer. So, but the question is, and remains still right now, when can we use our faith for someone else? Okay, if you're hanging with me. Faith will always work for you. Mark 11:24 speaks about personal faith. It doesn't talk about anybody else's faith. Jesus is talking about your faith. He says, this faith doesn't include somebody else. It doesn't include anybody else. It might in some, instance, which we will see. Faith, that kind of faith there will work for us when we believe God for something for ourselves. Because I don't know what's going on in your life. I can't read your heart. I don't know what you're believing, but I can know what I'm believing. I don't know what's going on in your life spiritually. I don't know if you're right with God and I don't know. You have to understand, right? So you can believe for others, only in certain situations. You can request from God something that's in the Bible for somebody else, but only in certain situations. The Bible tells us that we can believe for our own needs. Okay, for instance, Philippians 4:6, Paul says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. But, anybody here, we can have a worry, anxiety and concerns or burdens for our family, for our financial situation, maybe our work situation, maybe a relationship issue. We can have a worry. But the Bible says, don't worry about anything. That would include your relationships, your finances, your health. He says, but in everything, that would include your finances, that would include your children, that includes your job. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So you got to be able to ask God for something and thank Him at the same time when you're doing it. Not just ask, but by faith. So if you're thanking God, it means that you're in faith. You're thanking Him for something that you just asked for. So you can the Bible exhorts us to believe for our own needs. With thanksgiving, let your requests, everybody say your requests. He didn't say let the requests of your wife. Most of the time, well, we can do that in a certain instance, we can. But he's talking about you and God together, you asking God something. That tells me, in other scriptures, tells me that you're responsible for your spirituality. So you have to get your behind to sit here and listen to somebody like me who knows something about this. I'm a specialty when it comes to faith. That's my specialization. You don't go to a foot doctor. You know, I don't know anything about foot. But I know something about faith. Okay? So that's what I'm supposed to do, and I'm doing. Okay? So, do I know everything about faith? I don't know everything about faith, but I know lots about faith. I know it's something that we need to be reminded of regularly. So, he says, let your request be made known to God. So some people always tell me, listen, just whisper a prayer for me. I don't like that whispering for prayer. I like to get loud with God. I like to tell God, we need this situation, right? You know, like, I want to talk to God, you know? So, and look at this, verse 19, Philippians 4:19. But God shall, he didn't say he might. This is in the same chapter. He didn't say there's a possibility, probability, or there's a percentage that he could do this. But he said God shall supply. Shall, they say, is the highest, greatest assertion you can make because it's going to happen. God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, that's specifically speaking, that's talking about money and when you give to the church. That scripture there. Read the whole chapter from verse 15. He's talking about when you give to the church, that God, because you're supplying funds for the church, God will supply your needs. Specifically speaking there. Read it. But you can use that and understand this, that God will supply your needs more than whatever. Thank God for that. So, and Jesus said something in John, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 and 8, King James Version. But when you pray, he didn't say when your uncle goes to pray, he says, he's talking to you. So he's expecting you to go to pray. When you go to pray in your closet, he didn't say in your neighbor's closet. No, it's your closet. You say, what are you doing in my closet? Well, I'm going to go pray. You know? And he didn't mean literally closet, right? Because some of you wouldn't fit. Right? I'm not looking at anybody, just anybody. I'm trying to read my thing here. When you enter your closet, and when you have shut the door, it could be a challenge. When you shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And when your father, thy father, which see you in secret, shall reward you openly. Verse 7. But when you pray is a great assumption that you will pray. When you pray, use not vain repetition as some heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. You can apply that where it's applicable. You don't have to talk a lot to get your answers. You can just tell God what you want. Right? Verse 8. And be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So God knows what your needs are, but he wants you to ask him because he wants to see faith. He wants you to believe him. He's encouraging you. Go to your closet. Go! Go to your closet. Right? I know a lot of people are going to be in the closet tonight. Okay. Everybody say, don't push your desires. Okay, so watch this. Let's read the scripture again. We'll come back to that. Verse 24, Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things you desire when you pray. So when you're praying for something, if it's whatever need, when you pray, you have a certain desire from God. You know, you can't just take everybody's desires and your desire for somebody else and say, okay, I'm going to desire this person to have this or do this. No, they must do it themselves. He didn't say, when you take your wife's desire, and you know, no, when you take it. So God wants all of us to be responsible. So when you pray for that desire, you must believe. That is when you're in prayer. You must believe. You're asking God. You must receive the moment you pray. Whatever you're hoping for in the future, you see it way over there, but you're going to receive it right now. Father, I receive it right now. I receive my healing right now in the name of Jesus. Not because the doctor's report said anything. Not because you got favorable circumstances coming against you. Not because you feel spiritual. You might feel the worst you ever have. You might have even worse news than you had, but you're going to believe the word. That's faith. Is it scary? You better believe it is. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? So, can we move on? Just want to show you that scripture against it. So, everybody say agreement. So, we need spiritual agreement. It just takes two. There's power in agreement. So, when can we pray for someone? You must find agreement. Two people should agree. Whatever they're asking, they must ask together for something. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, can two people walk together unless they agree? You know, it's better to walk with people who agree with you. It makes it a whole lot better, right? You don't like dragging somebody spiritually or physically. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for safety. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Are you here? And again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth, in other words, any kind, any earthling, if you agree touching anything, anything, that's anything in the scripture, anything in the Bible, anything in the covenant, if you agree on anything that they shall ask, not just one person, but they shall ask together. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said this. So get agreement from somebody and agree on whatever the need may be. Then you could receive help. But you must ask and pray together and believe and say what you have. Jesus said it takes two people. If two people come there, I'll be there making it happen. I'll be there. I'll make sure I'm going to come in and make sure it happens. But you must believe, agree on the scripture. Not say, oh, I hope to, you know, this turns out okay. You know? So we see more than two people, two or three. It could be even four. You could add some other people. You can add a group of people who agree. Because we see the disciples agreed in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31, we see a whole pile of people. What we pray, what we call, you know, a corporate prayer. Prayer of unity. So they all begin to say the same thing, and they believe God for miracles. They believe God for the power of God to come, and they ask for boldness, and the power of God came. They believed. So they agreed together. You can read that on your own time. So, everybody say, baby Christians. Baby Christians. So don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you here, don't have to raise your hand, are a baby Christian? Okay, that's a question. I don't want to see any baby bottles tonight. Any squawking. Okay. So here, in 1 Peter, is it 1 Peter chapter 1? Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let's go to that verse of scripture here. First Peter chapter 2. Let's read 1 and 2, but we're looking at verse 2. He says that, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings. Well, we don't have those kind of people here tonight. But you all. Okay, so as newborn babes, that reminds me of somebody, a movie. Anyway, you remember that funny, what's that funny movie called? Remember that little, anybody remember this funny movie? Huh? No, okay. Anyway, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So God wants everybody to grow out of the baby stage of spiritual growth, spiritual development. God wants everybody. He just doesn't want, when you have a bunch of babies in churches, you can't do very much. They're selfish. They don't want to give their time. You know, little children, they don't want to share toys. If they see another kid playing with the toy, they go and get it off them. And they cry a lot. And they just do all that. So in Christian, the Bible shows us that God compares spirituality what it looks like in the natural. So he's saying that babies, little babies, are they can't do anything by themselves, for themselves. They don't know anything. They could even die eating something off the floor or fall off something and fall and hurt themselves and whatever. So that's what he's talking about there. He says that God wants us to grow spiritually as newborn babies desire sincere milk of the word. So we grow by getting the word in us. You have to take care of babies. Some people remain spiritual babies for a long, long time because nobody taught them to be responsible for their own spiritual growth. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't come to training sessions. They don't come to Bible teaching sessions because it might be too boring. All they want you to do is pray for them. I've had one guy says, don't teach me anything. Just go ahead and pray for me. So how can that happen? I had one guy, he was dying basically, and he went to the hospital. I went to talk to him, and I talked to him, and I knew he's been around for a long time. I knew he needed to get to the word. I said, what do you believe about this? What do you think? Well, he wanted prayer, but I said, okay, can you just read this little book? It's a small book. I'll come back tomorrow and pray for you. Just read that, and I want you to get into faith, and I'm going to pray with you. I went back the next day. He said, did you read that? Oh, no, I didn't have no time. He's in the hospital. What happened to him? Well, he eventually died because he wouldn't do anything for himself. There are people in Christian churches, they're not doing anything for themselves. They want you to do it for them. God wants us to grow. So people stay dependent on other people for their spiritual growth or spirituality. Newborn babies, they need to get the word of God into them. It takes time to grow. Babies are weak and helpless, and sometimes some churches are weak, and sometimes they're helpless too because the church is not growing. It's not developing. The people are weak spiritually because it's weak up here, and it has to go down there, right? People are responsible. So Ephesians 4:14, it says that we'd be no more children. Tossed to and fro. Children spiritually are tossed everywhere. If you take somebody in this room right now and you put them into a place where they don't teach the word or they're confused about the word, they teach things, and you would know right away, this is not right. This is what they're saying here is not right. First of all, they have the anointing inside of them because the Bible says the anointing will teach you that something is not right. So you would have that connection. You would know that something is not right. So there are some people who go to different places They hear people preach and they come back all confused. Because they're not solid enough. They're not grown enough to say, you know what? I like that service was great, but some things there I wouldn't eat. Brother Hagin used to say, you know, you eat the hay, spit out the sticks. Don't throw everything out because everything is not everything's bad. So he says, we shouldn't be children spiritually tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, there's a new teaching over there. Let's run over here. Let's run over there. Let's go here. Let's go here. Let's go to Florida. They got Holy Ghost meetings. Let's come bring it back here. They need it in Florida. But we're up here in the height of the spiritual forces where God is closer to us than anything else. We're in the north. It takes a lot of faith to stay in the north. Those guys, Benny Hinn and them, they left to the south because they don't have the faith that we have. That's why Copeland is down in south. So anyway, we're going to not put this on TV. That's a joke, by the way. Okay? There could be some truth in it, too. Anyway. You can carry other people at some times. You can carry genuine babies. So if you walk down the hallway, there's a infant place. They call it, what do you call it? Nursery. You can go there, and if they let you, if the mother lets you, you can pick up a child and hold that child. Now, if a mother here has a 46-year-old child with him, he said, I want to pick up your child. Well, that would be ridiculous, right? If they're, need help, maybe you could. So, but there's a time when you have to be responsible to learn how to do things for yourself spiritually, right? You need to read the word. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the King James says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. In other words, you have to. There's a place when you have to go spiritually to another level. He says, not laying the foundation of repentance. And he goes on to talk about different foundations, dead works, and then faith towards God. So we all have to, Hebrews chapter 6, 1 says that we must have a basic foundation of faith. Here, it talks about the foundation towards God. We have to know, number one, what faith is. Number two, we have to know how to get faith. And number three, how to use your faith. We teach that here. There's only one way to get faith, and that's through the word of God and be taught by the word. Hear the word. You don't pray for people. You can't lay hands on people. You can't fast for faith. You can't rub somebody. Rub me. So there's only one way to get it, and that's hear God's word on a certain subject that you're believing God for. If it's faith for healing, then you need to hear about healing. If it's Holy Ghost, hear about Holy Ghost. If it's finances, I'm going to teach on how to have faith for finances. Okay, so we need to have faith for it. We need to believe that God wants us to have our needs met, right? And then the Bible says that you can believe for more to just enjoy money, not just to eat food, but to have something extra, like if you want a horse, if that's what you want, then you can believe for a horse. You don't need a horse, right? But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 6:17 that God gives us all things to enjoy. I enjoy a horse, right? You say, what's he doing with that horse? Well, he enjoys it. Okay, you can get a pet beaver if you want. No, I'm getting ridiculous, but I'm telling you, if you enjoy it, then enjoy it, right? Right? You say, why does he have a bunch of Skidoos? I'd say, well, that's what he enjoys. Why does he have some boats? Well, he enjoys those boats, right? So I don't have a boat. I don't enjoy a boat. I don't have guns. I got guns, but I don't really use them. Right? You got guns? Yeah, some of you have guns. I'm glad you left them at home tonight. So we have to have faith towards God. We have to have basics of faith. We have to have how to have faith, how to grow our faith. We have to learn how to use our faith. So look over here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. So God wants us to be responsible. He wants us to grow. Hebrews 5:12 says, when it's time, you ought to be teachers. Well, if you're going to teach somebody, it must mean that you have grown. Whatever it is, you're teaching somebody. So he says, you ought to be teachers. But then those guys weren't teaching. They had to go back to the principles, the very principles. You have need of that someone to teach you again. That's what he's saying. Some people here, you ought to be teaching, but you're not. You need somebody to teach you again. The same thing. Right? The first principles of oracles of God. And then we saw that earlier about, the principles. So we can just leave that there. He talks about that you need milk again. Blah, blah, blah. Wah, wah, wah. So, us, should grow stronger in faith. All of us. Now, there are times that we might get weak somehow for whatever reason. Maybe we neglected to pray or, whatever. We need help. We all need help. I need help. But not all the time. Right? Not every prayer meeting, every special service. When I was in Tulsa, I had a physical affliction. And, I received by faith. I was in Brother Higgins' meeting at the ORU Maybe Center. And he said, I'm going to pray for people tonight. Anointing's on me. And, praise God, amen. And I was at Rhema, it was a Thursday night meeting. I'm at Rhema Bible School, went to the meeting, and I was just about ready to go. The Holy Spirit says, whoop, where are you going? I said, I'm going to get Brother Hagin to lay hands on me. He said, I thought you believed already. I thought you received. Oh, okay. So the Lord checked me. Some of you need to check yourself whether or not you believed or not. So when did you believe anyway? Why do you keep getting the same prayer about the same thing over and over again? Why do you keep asking for the things you asked for 20 hours ago or 20 days ago or 20 months ago? Why do you keep asking? If you ask one time, you should have received it then somewhere along the line it's going to manifest. You should be praising God along the way. Say, thank God. And when you think about it, say, thank God. I received my prayer, and I thank you right now. And the devil says, do you have it? I said, well, no, I don't have it now, but I'm getting it. It's coming in. My faith is bringing in my hope. Okay, I have 35 seconds to finish this up. Romans 8:14:1 says, he that's weak in faith, receive ye, but not doubtful disputations. I don't know what is telling me here in this King James. So I went and got the new Good News translation. It says, welcome those who are weak in faith, but do not argue with them about personal opinions. Right? It don't matter what your opinion is. What does the word say? So there are people who are weak in faith. They want to argue with you because they're weak in faith. But if you can get them to agree on the scripture, then you can help them. That's how you can pray with somebody. And you don't have to tell them that you're feeding them and that you're going to do something. You just get them the word. Right? So help the strong people should help those that are weak. So the Bible talks about Romans 4:12, that we should follow the steps of Abraham or the steps of anyone who is a faith person. Follow what they do, how they get something. Ask them, how did you believe God for that? That's why testimonies are good. He said, well, I got 24 scriptures on this, and I confess it every night. Well, you don't have to have 24 scriptures. You need this one or two that you believe in, right? So who can you help? First of all, you can help kids, little children. You can help anybody in your, you can pray for anybody that's your child. You can pray for your household. You can pray for anybody who depends on you in your home. You can pray for somebody that's unsaved that you know as a relative and pray for them. But you can't necessarily always pray for carnal Christians, because they've been around for a long time. You know, Paul tells the Corinthians in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that they were carnal Christians. They should have been spiritual, but they were carnal. They were acting like babies, complaining, having division, fighting with everybody, arguing about things. He says, you know, you guys are carnal. The Bible says, over here, give you a situation, Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 and 19 and 23 to 25. When Jesus arose and followed him, so did his disciples, verse 23. And when he has come to the ruler's house, everybody say ruler's house. So that's his house. It's not your house. You all have your own house, right? I don't go to your house and say, I'm going to your house tonight. I'm going to change all your furniture around and I'm going to take this TV anyway. No, that's your house. You know, I want to clean your toilet. Well, you can, but, you know, I wish, you know, come back another time. So I'm trying to make a point here. The ruler has a house. And he saw the minstrels and people making noise. And he said to them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. This guy, verse 18, says this. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter, everybody say, my daughter, even now is dead, but come, and you lay your hands on her, and she shall live. That means this guy, he's responsible for his kids. When does it start? When does it stop? When they're 18? When they're 24? So we can pray for our kids no matter how long they're our seed. The Bible says they belong to us. We can pray for our kids forever. But there's a certain time they must pray for themselves in certain instances. And each one is going to be different. God will deal with you accordingly. So this man was using his faith for his house, for his household, those that was dependent on him, his own children. You can pray for your own kids. Or if you're responsible for some kid in your house, you can pray for them. We can see here. So this was the ruler here of the synagogue. And then we see another thing here of a centurion servant. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10 and verse 13. Let's go ahead and read. And when Jesus entered the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. In other words, he was in pain. Can you pray for someone that pain will leave? Yes, you can. Not a lot of people believe that, but I've prayed for people and pain left them. He's saying, my servant. Everybody say, my servant. So he's responsible for his servant. You're responsible for your employees. Anybody that's dependent to you. Like if you have a business and your people are getting sick, you better pray for those people to keep them going so your business doesn't go down, right? You can pray for anybody. You know, the point is that you can pray for somebody who's dependent on you. You have authority, spiritual authority there. Right? Not everybody. He didn't say, I'm going to go and pray for everybody's servant. No, it's his servant. Well, I'm just trying to make a point and try to put it in real good that you're responsible for certain things in your life. That's when you can use your faith. Verse 13 says this, Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way as you have believed, be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that same hour. So he was responsible for that. And we can take authority in that area. So you can pray for your servant or employees. You have responsibility for your own household, your family, your wife, your children. That's when you can pray. So God expects all of us to grow up in faith. What does the Bible say about praying for others and using your faith? As we just saw, you can pray for other people. You're allowed to. So the only time you can use your faith with somebody else if they allow you to, if it's not your child. So you must, if somebody asks you to whatever needs are, you must talk to them first and say to them, what do you believe? Can I pray for you? Sometimes you could ask someone, can I pray for you? They say, if they agree with you, then you say, okay, I can pray. They gave you authority to enter into their house, to enter into their lives. So they've given you that authority to come. But you can't just go to anybody and say, I'm just going to pray for you, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, I'm going to pray for you. It's not going to ever work. We know that in the natural. So let's go ahead and stand and pray here. Close up this service. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Did you get something out of that? Yeah. I mean, it's simple enough, but we need to learn. Praise God. And I didn't say that we can't never pray for one another. Yes, we can pray for one another. We can sit around right here and now and just pray for each other. We can pray for people. Thank God. But if you're an old Christian, and you've been praying for that same thing for many years, still hasn't manifested, you need to go to the good old Bible and get some faith and start believing God. God will always answer us, right? According to the scripture. Father, we thank you for every person in this room right now. There's some people that need healing and health in their lives. Some have pain, and we're going to agree with every person here in this room, every family. We're going to use your corporate faith for healing to come, for pain to leave, for symptoms to go. We're going to even pray that medically speaking, whatever medicines they're taking, whatever medical procedures they're going to use, that doctors will help them. Medically, there'll be help. Whatever it's counseling situations, whether they're seeing a counselor, that they'll get help emotionally. Mentally, we're standing in faith because you said in your word that we can pray and believe for our dependents, our children, our homes. And so some of us are in dire need. But Father, you said in your word, speak the word only. Yeah, we might not see it. We might not feel it. We might think or it might seem that the devil says it'll never happen. But you said in your word that you'll do it over and over and over again. If you did it once, you'll do it again. You said in Psalm 34, 9, 7, 19, you said that, Lord, you did it one time. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you delivered him time and time again from every one of those situations. And so we're praying for you right now.